Dude, I am going to do a review of this this ball cream, courtesy of Dirty Dan.
Okay, with that segue. Welcome to the next installment of Thought Girl Summer, brought to you by the MGTOWN Podcast. It's me, producer Tim. Also joining us is the mayor of MGTOWN, Drexel. Say hi.
Hello. Welcome to Thought Girl Summer, everybody.
Oh, and this Thought Girl Summer, we are bringing in NCAA Cat into the studio. Say hi. Tell people what you're about.
Hi, everyone. I've worked in college athletics for over 10 years and also grew up with it, so I know the T.
There's more letters than just T that these girls were sliding down on, particularly the fourth letter of the alphabet, the D.
Yeah.
The fourth wave of the pandemic, Drex.
Hey, so Kat, I'm sure there was a pandemic going on at these universities, right? Was there do you think there was like a thought pandemic? Like these girls had the Delta variant that basically just resulted in different kinds of D. It was a curved D, black D, white D, tight end D, shortstop D. Tell us what was going on in these colleges.
I cannot say for certain, but I have full confidence in saying that all of those did exist, as well as Ds that curved to the left and curved to the right.
Conservative D's?
No, not
left and right. Come on.
Yeah, no, I get what you're going with.
Well, you didn't laugh, so I thought the joke went over your head.
No, I was just gonna continue after what you said. But yeah, no, they have their own agendas that most people. Where at least I'm from, in all fairness, people tend to get their MRS degrees, which means that they're there to bed and wed people who are going to make money.
Yeah. How much love did you see on campus? Like when the woman was like, oh, my God, Kat, I love this guy. Or were they like, oh, my God, he's going to be a doctor, an engineer, a lawyer. Is that what you heard more of?
Yeah, that's probably what I heard more of. There was a couple where they would be more of like, oh yeah, like I really like him as a person. And then I see like they're breaking, like, you didn't like him as a person. Because if you did, you wouldn't have done it that way. But yeah, no, I think that like I'm in this degree because I want to meet a similar person and then I can be at home and they can do their job and, you know, set MRS.
Yep.
Did you ever see a pandemic or an outbreak of like an STD among among the players?
Without saying the state that I live in, yes. We are the highest for STIs.
Okay, well, doxed. I'm calling the police.
Yeah.
You know that's saying something, right, Kat? Because you know how bad Alaska is, right? don't worry, guys. She's not in Alaska.
But, no, she's actually Sarah Palin.
Yes, that's exactly who I am.
Drex, that is the real Thought Girl Summer. The thought apocalypse in the fall is when all those STI tests start coming back.
Yeah. So, Kat, can you describe what happens when these girls? Okay, let's focus on the freshmen, right? Like, I want you to take us through a quick 4-part segment, right? So we have freshman year. What happens to the girls? And for the most part, the guys are kind of just reacting to the girls, right? So, can you kind of walk us through what happens to these girls when they show up freshman year? And when you see those girls sophomore year, and God forbid if they actually make it to junior and senior year, what are the changes that you see?
Well, I will say freshman year is a little bit of hesitance, you know, because like we're just also trying to figure it out. Then, and Grant, I did transfer schools, but yeah, no, you get like a kind of like, okay, like these are the fraternities that I mesh well with. These are the ones that I don't, whatever have you. We're having parties here, we're having parties there. They start to let loose. And then after freshman year, sophomore year, it's probably more of like, you know where you stand. You have a little more authority because also you've been there for 1 year. So you get that little bit of, that's why I don't like sororities. But you get that little bit of authority. It's like, oh, I've been here for a year, so I know what I'm doing. You also have like the president's ear or the vice, you know, you have someone in wherever you're partying, you have their ear. Because otherwise, why would you be there?
Yep.
Just kind of like, okay, yeah, as long as the people aren't being like too obscene. And I mean, it has to be really obscene for it to be called upon for you to be in trouble for. Otherwise, they're just like, we don't really care.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that I noticed in college was that girls, when they first got there, you're right, there was a bit, there's a bit of hesitance because girls didn't go buck wild. Contrary to popular belief, it's not like girls just show up at school freshman year at age 18 and go buck wild. No, 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 no. What happens is they arrive there. The first person a girl knows is her roommate.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, you know, especially if they are coming from out of state or even the girls who are in state, just because you're in state doesn't mean that you know that many people on campus. So what ends up happening is I would say that a lot of the thottery doesn't really occur until about at least 2 months in. Like nothing happens until at least after 2 to 3 months, because I think it's after break. And the first real break is Thanksgiving. No, and
I would agree with that, but honestly, it might happen a little bit before that because I had a roommate that she was like, she wore skirts down to her knees.
Oh, when she first arrived?
I don't know what she was, but she was some kind of religion where she had to wear like skirts like below her knees.
Oh,
and they were homemade. Maybe I really don't remember because then all of a sudden she dyed her hair black and started wearing like leather pants. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, and then.
Cool. Like, cool. I don't know what to do with you now. Not that I knew what to do with you to begin with.
Well, what was the change in behavior that you noticed when a girl went from, she shows up to school, it's August, and she is wearing longer dresses or skirts or whatever. What was the change, not only physically, but psychologically, that you noticed with the girls, especially once they started? In athletes is really the key thing, right? Because most of the girls are getting ran through by athletes. They're not getting ran through by just regular dudes on campus because those guys have no status.
Well, yeah, no, but the thing is that they wouldn't, if you were in a sorority, and every sorority kind of had their fraternity counterpart, and they wouldn't let athletes in there because of what you're just saying, is that people would go after them. And so you would see a difference in the women, but like they did not let athletes in unless they were women athletes, which they, you know, obviously, you know, like you can come in, but only if you bring like 10 chicks.
Of course.
And so I don't know exactly, but like there was definitely a change. So this girl was like super religious. And then within 2 months, she was dyeing her hair, started wearing like leather pants, and having relations, we'll say.
AKA getting ran through.
Yeah.
So she comes in. I'm assuming she's probably okay. If she was that religious, because she grew up with, obviously, it sounds like she grew up in a nuclear family, she probably was a virgin coming to campus.
She was, yes.
Yep. Yeah, because the dress is a big thing, because I want people to understand, if someone shows up to campus and they claim to be religious but they're already dressing fairly provocatively, that means they've already done some things while in high school, right? But if a girl shows up to campus and she's wearing traditional religious garb, bets are her dad kept her under lock and key, and now she's away and he's thinking like, oh, my daughter's a good girl. And you're saying 2 months, 60 days? That's not even a warranty. So the warranty is up, and what happens to this girl?
Well, to be honest, she went crazy. Was it she was doing that? She was. It's really hard to explain, but she'd be like, I would wake up to her yelling at me, and I'm like, what is happening? I don't even know what you're yelling about.
So she yelled? She no may reason,
have.
Just...
Yeah, she may have just been crazy for no reason outside of everything else. I really do not know. Because before them, like, I knew, like, I could tolerate her, but I didn't like her. Mm-hmm. But she just kind of went crazy. And I was just like, okay, cool beans.
Did she last all 4 years?
I don't know because I transferred schools. Because I was and I also moved dorms because I was like, after 6 months, we could transfer dorms.
Oh, nice.
And I made a point to transfer because I was like, I can't live with this chick anymore. Like, I don't care if I have to share a shower with someone else. Like, she's insane. I don't know what's going on with her. She was just off the rocks.
Goodness. You get to your day-to-day life in college. Mm-hmm. You're seeing things. Obviously, later on, you became a recruiter.
Yeah.
And, you know, you obviously are, you know, showing new athletes around the college and things. And what was the reaction to the newest recruits that were possibles to come in, especially like the blue chip players? What did these girls at these colleges do when these guys showed up?
Oh, yeah. So first off, I've told you this before, but just to reiterate it, I was never one of the high level recruiters because I was never going to sleep with them. But
having morals hurts in that business.
Yeah, it really does. But there were certain girls that they had kind of on lock that they knew would be willing. They'd be willing to give them alcohol, be willing to give them, I hate to say drugs, but drugs. And they would just, you know, they would show them around. And they were very personal people. It's not that they were necessarily, like, annoying. They were very nice and personable. They were also, though, there for a very specific reason. And it was... And they're also being paid by other coaches in multiple ways, monetarily as well as attention and all that. So they took advantage of it, which, I mean, I almost can't blame them for it.
I know I don't. Look, I get it. Like, I get the whole hustle. I mean, it's a jux both ways, right? Like, I've always felt that it is indeed an equal exchange, right? The only issue I've ever had with the nature of the NCAA is how for decades they were just lying about it. Like, just admit that this is pay for play. Just, I think if we started there, I think that would solve a lot of problems, right? Like, just be like this is pay for play. And then from there, you can start like really, you know, what you do.
Yeah. So that's like what's so interesting about the NIL adjustment is it's just like that changes the whole game.
Yep.
Especially when you incorporate the idea of these female recruiters, because they never put a male recruiter with a male athlete.
Never.
It's always female. So I'm like, but then you also have the NIL where they can make money, and they can, you know, you look at the SEC in particular. I think both quarterbacks, one who has never seen the freaking field, is making $1 million. It's like, well, it changes the game.
Yep.
And now we definitely have to get into this. And I'm not going to lie, they've turned a blind eye. The university I was at, they turned a blind eye as long as they fired every football coordinator, head, you know, coach, whatever. As long as they fired all of them, they're like, we'll turn a blind eye as long as you fire everyone.
Yeah, it is what it is, and to go on to the whole pay for play, I don't know if you know this, but the whole website seeking arrangement and things of that nature have really caught hold. The whole, I'm sure you've heard the term sugaring, right? Sugar baby, sugar daddy.
Yeah.
Did you see any of that? Because I don't know if you know this, but there was a school in the South that was the number one school in the nation. If I recall, it might've been Georgia State, something like that. And this was back then. This is only like a couple of years ago. It's gotten even more prevalent now, especially with the pandemic, with resources drawing to a standstill, right? Did you see any of the, like, the or hear about like the sugaring? Like, you know, girls that you saw, like, you're like, hey, Kat, do you see that girl right there? Yeah, she just left with a guy in a brand new Beamer or a Maserati. And you're like, wait a minute. No one on campus can afford that. That's a student. Who was that guy? And then she comes back and she has like a new purse or some new shoes or something.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I can say I saw that, but I will say that I was aware of it because someone came to me specifically for that, saying that like I should be a sugar baby for that reason.
Well, now you don't always got to smash. Sometimes these guys are satisfied with foot pics, but usually,
it was just like going out. Like I remember seeing it and being like, and being encouraged to do it and being like, wait, what? Like, you know, like if the guy's older, that's fine. But like, if I'm not interested in him, then I'm just not interested. And the amount of money he has is kind of irrelevant in my mind personally, but I was approached by people, to be a sugar baby, and it was weird. And I know that there were people that were, and especially within recruiting, because that they were technically sugar babies, even though the guys weren't married.
Yeah. And how much of that did you see going on? One of the things that I've talked to you about and, you know, anyone about is I always talk about infidelity. And what would you say was the general rate of infidelity? Obviously, you know, hookup culture is a separate matter because, you know, you aren't committed. But outside of hookup culture where you don't have a title, people who had a title, you know, and this includes everybody, whether it be students, coaches, faculty, everybody. How much infidelity did you see on campus or hear about through the grapevine while you were in the college days?
7 out of 10. Easy. Damn.
So 70% at least.
Yeah. I mean, because that's what people would talk about. I mean, they were like, yeah, so-and-so's wife had a hissy fit because their wife came into the athletic department yelling.
Uh-oh. We know what that means.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like things like that. And once again, just being aware of certain people getting like the top star recruits, it's like they would come out with watches like that cost $1,000 and things of that nature that you're just like, you can't afford that. Like, I know your background enough to know you can't afford that.
So, you know, Kat, one of the things I think is that weird there. So Kat, one of the things that I've noticed in this new pay for play era, and I've told people this and I want your take on it. I was on Nick Riccata's show. Shout out to Riccata Law. I was on Nick's show and I said, for the guys out there in particular, I said, in the future, unless you are literally in the top 10% of guys, all relationships of any form between men and women are going to be pay for play. What do you think about that?
I want to disagree, but I can't.
Drex, are we sure this is a Thought Girl Summer, you know, mini episode?
It covers quite a bit. There's all kinds of thoughtness because the reason why all of this stuff is so important is that, so Kat, in Thought Girl Summer, one of the things that's so important to understand is that Thought Girl Summer represents a shift in the culture itself, right? Mm-hmm. So when guys out there are saying, well, Drex, I don't believe it's that bad. And then you show them all the evidence from people, you know, because one of the things I noticed with Thought Girl Summer is that I said to myself, I want people from all walks of life, right? So from a female perspective, what is the college experience like? What did you see? From the male perspective, what about older guys? What about, you know, women who are married? when you start to get a true glimpse into what's really going on. And can you describe how the apps helped better do the Thought Girl Summer in terms of whether it be monetarily, which is, you know, the sugaring sites, and then just for the hookup culture itself? What would you describe that in the college atmosphere?
Well, I will say, whenever I was in college, the apps weren't really around, or if they were, I was definitely not using them because I was way more focused on athletics, which is probably to my own detriment at this point. But I would say it's just all around, like, it's just stupid. I think that's the best thing I could say about it.
I mean, I know it is. Well, and I know all of this is totally destructive and chaotic, and, you know, it's against anything that is remotely good. Because, you know, one of the things that we talk about in Thought Girl Summer is, what would you say, Kat, to all those guys out there who are thinking to themselves, I'm meeting a good girl in college and blah, blah, you know, a girl who's looking for her MRS degree. What would you tell these guys to know?
I would say run for the hills. Run for the hills unless you genuinely believe like it's a great girl. But even then, I was like, eh.
Well, how many secrets? Tell us about the secrets girls were withholding in terms of like their behavior on campus.
All the girls I recruited with were sleeping with athletes while they were dating other people.
Yep.
So, I mean, it wasn't.
But my unicorn.
Yeah. Yeah, so, Kat, what would you tell those guys? What would you tell the simps out there who are saying it can't be that many girls doing Thought Girl Summers and Falls and Winters and Springs?
Oh, yeah. They are. And if you're in the South, at least, they're definitely doing Thought Girl Falls.
Oh, yeah.
And what do you say to the people who are like, well, we have a long distance relationship because she's going to college at U of A.
Oh, yeah. Never, ever. Never.
Oh, yeah. Kat, tell us about that. What did you see out of long? That's a good one. Thanks, Tim. What did you see out of long distance relationships?
Oh, they never work. I had a couple. Never. They were like, no, I want to try it. I'm like, no. But okay, sure, I guess. And it's not like I like did anything during that time, but I was just like, this is just crap. Like, it's long distance. It's not, no one has an actual income. It's not going to work. Like, we can't go see each other. You know what I mean? Like, you could, I guess, if you were an adult.
Yep. Yeah, I know what you mean. But yeah, let's say you have your long distance, but it's because your husband just has to go out of town to work. Let's say, like, his job requires him to travel, right?
Yeah.
But he's always returning to base, and base is home, right? Where you guys stay.
Yeah.
That tends to work better than someone who's like, so Kat, you and I are dating and I am in Portland, Maine, and you're down in the South. What are you, 1,200 miles, 1,500 miles away? Like, that's not going to work.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's hard. I mean, I think that there are some people that can make it work. I don't think that it's necessarily like reliable to work. That's my mentality on it. It's like, I don't want to like do like an end all be all, like, yeah, it's never going to work, but it's really difficult. And most likely it's going to be very hard to make it work. Absolutely. But I do think that there are those few individuals that maybe they can, I don't know, but I wouldn't recommend it because as I know, I've broken up with several boyfriends for similar reasons. They're like, we need you to be like, I want you to like come join me. It's like,
About that, right?
Yeah, it's like, I don't think I want to do that though.
Well, Kat, before we even hit the record button, you said something that's very, very peculiar. And you talked about TikTok. What can you say about what all of these TikTok challenges, I'm sure you heard, right? There's a Bugs Bunny challenge, a silhouette challenge, a busted challenge. Big bank something, small waist, big butt challenge. There's all these challenges, right? A lot of these college girls are taking to to these things. And obviously you're gone from college now, but there's one song in particular. Shout out to Coach Greg Adams for showing this video. The Sorority Thoughts had it as their literal, like they replaced the national anthem and put this as their anthem instead, which is the song, one of the most infamous songs in modern history, which is WAP, right? It was Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the worst lyrics of any song ever. It's garbage, right? It's pure garbage. What would you say about the TikTok challenges and its influence on the colleges?
I think it's definitely detrimental. I think everyone's trying to get on this like weird social media thing. Like, oh, they're famous, so I can obviously become famous on the same thing. It's like, no, sweetheart. You can't. Like, you're not that interesting. You're not that dynamic. I think that they're just, granted, like you say, the University of Alabama, they've done a great job of monopolizing it. But hot damn, are they just a clusterfuck.
It's terrible. When Coach Greg Adams shows these videos, and he's like, and you know, the reason why, you know, I always say things like, you know, I can't make this up is because, so Kat, this is basically what ended up happening. When I first started in the game and I was telling people what was really happening out here, right? Like, you know, the rampant infidelity, the X, Y, and Z, people kept on saying I made all this up, right? Like, oh, trust everything, because social media didn't exist back when I first started, right? We're talking like 2005 when I first got into the life, right?
Yeah.
And everyone said, you know, I can't be like that, Drake. No, it's not like that. I think you're exaggerating. It's just the people you're around. One of the things that social media did do, I think, for the better, especially from the male perspective, is that it finally highlighted and showcased the dark side of females, right? You know, all these, you know, like women using guys for dinner dates, the guys out here who are like, no, my girl's not like that. And then we got Selena Green Vargas, who got smutted out in a porn film the same day she sent her man off to the military, right?
I could agree with that. I mean, although I will say I have a counter for you.
Ooh, what's that?
You recommended that I take advantage of someone.
Yep.
Purely because he was willing to offer.
Yep.
And doesn't that counter, or are you just encouraging?
Here's why I encourage it. I've said on numerous occasions, because I've actually been called out as a hypocrite on a few occasions. People don't understand me. I don't view simps as people, right?
Okay.
I don't want any woman to feel sad about using simps for their resources, okay? Now, likewise, Kat, would you feel like any kind of way about me if I say, hey, Kat, I'm just using this thought for what she offers me, right? Would you be like, oh, Drex, don't do that. That's wrong. Or would you just say, it is what it is, right?
Probably is what it is, but it's mostly because I'm like, that's your choice. And like, you know, unless I maybe knew the lady, I might have some other opinions, but at the end of the day, I'm like, yeah, everyone just does what they do.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Everything is gone. We're in a godless world, right? So, Kat, if there's a simp in Dubai somewhere, but he says, I really want you to send me foot pics and I'm going to send you X amount of dollars. Look, I have no problem with a woman using a simp for his resources.
But doesn't that just encourage the culture?
It does.
So why do you want to encourage the culture?
Because I want it all to collapse. So here's the thing.
Accelerationism.
Yeah, I'm an accelerationist. Like, and I've talked about this on Nick's show, because watch this. So Kat, I want you to, like, you know, bear with me. Do you believe that we can get back to the way things were in a natural order? Like us saying, hey, ladies, stop being thoughts. Guys, stop being, you know, simps and cucks and stuff. Let's get this thing back to the way it was in the 1950s. Do you believe that can happen in any form of a natural way? Yes or no?
No.
Okay, so the only way to get there, right, the only way to get to nuclear families again is to do what? Is to accelerate what's already happening, and they have a thought-pocalypse. Wouldn't you agree? And a simp-pocalypse. You have to have everything that is, okay, everything that exists right now has to go into hyperdrive and completely collapse. So if you wonder, like, because people ask me, they're like, well, Trax, aren't you helping the cause? I go, look, I wanted to get, so Kat, this is what I want to see. I want to see guys get to a point where simping becomes so out of control that eventually guys go like this, we're done. We're done simping, Drex. We're finally done.
Yeah, but...
And then on the flip side, what do the girls say? I don't know if you know this, but I have talked to a lot of guys, and this I want you to understand this from the male perspective. From the male perspective, WAP was the last straw with guys. That was when we checked out. Like, remember I told you that when Me Too first hit, to show you how far men and women are off, the men said, okay, yeah, we're done. We checked out, right? You talked about this. The guys don't approach you anymore, right? Yeah. Men are done. Me Too was the last straw. We've gotten the family court. We've gotten all this feminism. So the last straw where men were like, you know, men were still trying to have relationships, still trying to have families. Once Me Too hit, after HR complaints and everything, guys were like, you know what, man, we're done. You ladies can have it. Go ahead. So now guys are done, right? And then on the flip side, this is what you heard from women. Yeah, Me Too. Now we can begin having a conversation. So women view Me Too as a starting point. Is that what you've seen in yourself? Like, yes, now we can have these conversations with men about, you know, sexual harassment. What's good behavior? What's bad behavior? So women truly view Me Too as a starting point. Men view it as the last straw. You see how far off both sides are? So there's a consequence.
Thank you, Kat, for coming in for this Thought Girls Summer that went, I think we're an hour and 20 minutes into the recording now.
Dear God. This is not over, Kat. This is not over. I'm going to talk to you.
I would love to discuss this further.
Oh, absolutely. We'll absolutely get you back in. This is supposed to be a 20-minute episode. So I have to cut. I have to cut an hour of content out.
He's gonna do a lot. He's gonna just stick to like all the college experiences. I guess we didn't even get to like the grimy stuff.
Yeah, but we didn't. That's the problem.
I know, hey, you guys killing
oh
me.
Oh my
here.
God!
You know, maybe we'll do a part two.
Yeah, yeah. We're okay. So Kat, we're gonna have you here for part two.
Okay.
Let me cut it down and I'll release. So normally what I do if we got a long recording like this, but I have to cut a bunch of it out, is I'll release it to the Patreonies and the subscribe stars as a bonus clip. Like you remember, Drex, we went like 2 hours with TFM, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
To get a 20-minute Thought Girl Summer story out of him. The vanilla pudding cup, Drexel.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you know this, Kat, but TFM, the legend TFM, was in the Navy, and he said, there's a chick that got ran through so bad, and there was a guy going in. I don't know what number this dude was, but he said the inside of this chick was a vanilla pudding cup. Mm. It's just another day in the
there's
life.
There's a visual for you tonight. Oh, my fucking... Oh. Koopa broke me. Koopa broke. I'm done. Good night, guys. I'm done. Koopa broke me.
I was watching something there now on YouTube, and they were talking about like there's cum, it looks like cum, but it's what's the word I'm looking for? What do you put on your dick?
Lube.
Yeah, lube. It's cum colored lube, so that way it looks like the girl is like, having a. Whatever.
Yeah, looks like a
yeah,
looks like a bukkake.
Like,
yeah.
That's like just the weirdest thing to me.
Okay, well, on that lovely note, thanks, Jordan, everyone. We'll get you next time. Until then, stay frosty.
Peace.
Peace.